And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. Hope everybody is doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm super. How are you?
I am super as well. Michelle, good morning. How are we doing?
Thank God it's Friday. Yay, I'm doing great.
Michelle's doing very well. Lots of energy this morning.
I'm just happy it's Friday.
Oh, okay. There is that. We got a lot to get to on the program today. Jared Stillman joining the show at 7 o'clock. We'll be joined by C. Thomas Howe coming up at 7:30, or otherwise known, Joe, as Tommy Howe in the musical career to this point. But that coming up at 7:30 on the program, and Teron Davenport at 8 o'clock. But some famous people joining us today on the program. What an honor for them, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's cool that he's Tommy Howell now. I mean, I get that, but yes, to me, always C. Thomas.
Yes. Are you going to refer to him as C. Thomas coming up at
7:30? Well, no, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I may have to ask him about that. There's probably something on the internet about why he changed it, which I'll try to look up.
Excuse me, C?
Yeah, CT. I mean, you're talking about, here's the thing. When this was presented as a possibility, I wasn't sure on the timing. And if Caroline could be, I wasn't sure maybe he was going to come in.
Yeah.
My Caroline Rexroad, she was like, I must come in that day, please. Because she's completely in love with him. Now, of course, again, in love with the, C. Thomas Howell from the 80s in the movie The Outsiders, because she's reading The Outsiders in school this year. And is anybody, anyone of that age? Oh, see Thomas Howell, man. Good looking dude, Or, Tommy Howell.
Yeah. All right. We'll see. Maybe he goes by both. See Thomas or Tommy. That's coming up at 7:30.
Yeah. We'll find out.
On the program. Joe, the Celtics stay alive last night, 95-86. They win against the 76ers. So that one's going to Game 7. And I thought that Phoenix would force a Game 7 last night as well, but they did not. They got crushed by the Denver Nuggets. 125-100 the final score, and the Denver Nuggets moving on to the Western Conference Final in the NBA.
Booed at home, man. At home in the first half of that game. I could not believe what I was seeing. That was disgusting. Another year with no ring for Chris Paul. Sorry, buddy.
Really hurts my heart.
Yeah, I know it does. I know it does. And I do feel for my buddy Matt Ishbia. And, still doing a good job as the owner. Anytime we'd like to, drop a few thou, few mil somewhere, wherever he wants,
Bill.
He's welcome to.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I don't know how many bill he has. I got to look that up. Like, how many bill is he worth?
I don't know. More than me and you.
I looked that up along with the C. Thomas to Tommy Howell switch on the internet the show.
Thank you very much. Carolina wins last night in overtime against New Jersey to end that series and advance to the Eastern Conference Final as well. So thanks for playing New Jersey, but that one didn't last very long. Carolina moving on to the Eastern Conference Final. And Dallas last night, they win 5-2 at home. Joe Pavelski continues to score goals, as does Roope Hintz. And the Stars up 3-2 on the Seattle Kraken in that series as well. So we'll have Game 5 tonight between Florida and Toronto. Game 5 tonight in a tied series between Edmonton and Vegas as well in the NHL. And then on the NBA side of things, Game 6 between the Heat and the Knicks down in Miami. And Game 6 coming up tonight between the Warriors and the Lakers in L.A. I know Joe Rex Road looking forward to that one.
Yeah, can stay up with no worries. Stay up and, Yeah, it'll be I think it's going to be a great game. There's been two close games, and three blowouts. The Warriors, they got to win a close game. They're going to have to do it tonight.
They are. We'll see if they can keep it going tonight as they take on L.A. on the road. Joe, we have a schedule for the Tennessee Titans. What a glorious day it was yesterday, NFL schedule release day. I will say this, the Tennessee Titans and the social media team did a phenomenal job of kind of revealing the schedule yesterday, and there's this nice video that they came out with of going around like Broadway and asking people to identify logos of other teams, and it was beautiful.
Incredible.
The way the Titans did it yesterday. If you haven't seen the video, I encourage you to check it out.
That was actually hilarious. Well done. Well done.
The best was the Colts horseshoe, and everybody's like,
yeah, the Cowboys. Cowboys right there. There we go. I think the Atlanta Falcons were referred to by somebody in that video as the Red Stallions, and now the Falcons on Twitter have changed their name to the Red Stallions. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, God, that's awesome. Yeah, that's very good thinking. So I don't know if that's Nate Bain who gets credit for that, or whoever does. That's very good. Very, you know, that's very good use of resources. Broadway is there for us, you know. I mean, I avoid it like it's, you know, like a rat infested, you know, ship sinking in the ocean. But you know what? There are uses for it.
There are uses for it. And the Titans highlighted potentially the best use for it we've seen to this point with their video that they came out with. Highlights from the schedule, Joe Rexroad. Two primetime games for the Tennessee Titans. Number one coming in Pittsburgh in November. November the 2nd, they will be out in Pittsburgh for a Thursday night matchup. And then a Monday night football matchup on the road down in Miami, taking on the Dolphins in the Ryan Tannehill revenge game, assuming he's still the starting quarterback by the time Week 14 rolls around at that point. So two primetime games for the Titans. I got to say, I thought they'd get one for sure with the Thursday night game. I did not anticipate a Monday night football game, but they got one on the road down there in Miami.
Well, you know, the thing is, the rules have changed. I haven't seen this, if anybody got completely hosed, but there's no longer the one per team mandate. So it is actually possible that someone didn't get any primetime games. I mean, I haven't heard of that, but I kind of thought they were going to get one too. So yeah, it's not bad. And it's two, you know, I mean, it's attractive games. Plus, you know, I guess you have that, plus you have London, right? Yep. So really you have three guaranteed you know, showcase games where everybody has to watch you play football. So honestly, that's a little better than I anticipated. Yeah, we'll see if like you said, the Monday night game at Miami, is that gonna be, you know, an extra day the week before of Tannehill doing one-arm push-ups and pulling, you know, a sled in the barn? Or, yeah, I will say, you know, you look at their schedule, man, like there are a lot of really winnable games on it. We always think that, and then a couple of the teams on here are going to be a lot better, we think, but then, you know, maybe a couple aren't as good. But, look, there is a difference. There is absolutely a difference between having a first place and a second place schedule. It's to me very front loaded with their tougher games, which is interesting. I don't know if that's good or bad for them. But if they can be okay as of London, they got a chance to make some hay on this thing.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, they open up in New Orleans, so the season opener will be on September the 10th down there in New Orleans, taking on Derek Carr and the Saints. So, you know, obviously an intriguing matchup there to start things off. And then really from that point on, Joe, until the bye week, a lot of AFC games against some good teams, the Chargers, the Browns, the Bengals, again here at home here in Nashville, the Colts and the Ravens, and then they've got that bye week after the London game. From week two to week six, you've got good AFC teams. And, you know, in one case, an Indianapolis team that we don't know exactly what they're going to be and who's going to be starting at quarterback, but a divisional game there that you're going to on the road early in the year. You know, after they get back from London, it's going to be really interesting to see what spot they're in, because like you said, from the London game, you've got an Atlanta team that who knows how good they're going to be, Pittsburgh with a second-year quarterback, Tampa's in rebuild mode, you got them after that, and then it's Jacksonville, Carolina, who just picked number one overall, Colts again, who knows what they'll be, and then the Texans twice in a three-week span from week 15 to week 17 toward the end of the year down there. So as you pointed out, if you can kind of navigate, and you know, I'd say this as we sit here on May the 12th and things won't go this way, but as you can navigate, you know, weeks 2 through 6, if you can get through that and have your head above water, you got a chance there to make some noise if you're the Titans down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just obviously it works out. Now I don't remember where I saw this ranking, but I thought I saw that the Titans' schedule strength is like 29th.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, of course, it's still ahead of the Texans and I think the Texans and the Colts.
And the Colts,
is that right? Yeah.
Well, like the, I think the least, how would you even phrase this? The team with the easiest schedule on paper is like the Falcons in the NFC South. So there you go.
But that's the thing. It's a second place schedule, but it also is the divisions that they're paired with this year, you know, are weak. I mean, and, you know, that's the thing, too, is like when you look at road games, like, look, I mean, Cleveland is good. And, you know, I think the Steelers are going to be solid. But, like, you know, road games against the Bucs and Saints, those are your NFC road games. Yeah. I mean, that's. It could be a lot tougher than that. In recent years, they're going out to the Rams. They're going out to Lambeau, you know. So there's a lot of possibility, which is like it's funny because we've been talking about the, you know, if they're this or that at this certain point, you know, if it looks bad, like at, you know, at some point, do you think about Levis in for Tannehill? I mean, I've kind of looked at it like, okay, 3-3, you know, that's what you want to be. But honestly, even if they were like 2-4 after six, unless the Jags are like start out like 6-0 or something, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily consider them out of it.
Yeah, I mean, they've a couple of really interesting games right off the bat to me are L.A. at home. We saw them play the Chargers last year and went toe-to-toe with them. Tannehill got hurt in that game, all that stuff. And then Deshaun Watson and the Browns, who, you know, we heard Charles Robinson talk about this yesterday. On paper, like, they should be pretty good. Like, they've got a loaded roster. But me having no idea what Deshaun Watson is anymore, getting them early in the season on the road is going to be really interesting for the Titans. I have no idea what the Browns are going to be.
Yeah, they do have a lot of talent. There is no doubt.
There is no doubt about that. 615-737-1025. The schedule is out. What do you make of the Tennessee Titans schedule? And Joe Rexroad has already broken it down on The Athletic and has given a prediction as well. We'll get into all that as well. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. The Titans schedule is out. We're taking your thoughts on that. By the way, some texters pointing out that apparently no primetime games for the Texans or Indianapolis, and one texter said Houston, Indy, Arizona, and Atlanta, all with no primetime games, Joe Rexroad. So the Titans getting that respect with two of them on Thursday Night Football and the Monday Night Football game in Miami as well.
I am blown away. Yeah, Vingan texted me, Adam Vingan, up listening right from the crack of dawn, and I asked him, like, what's going on? And he said, blame Arlo. So hashtag blame Arlo. I think we should get that trending today.
Let's do it.
Jim Irsay will be like, hashtag blame Arlo for no primetime games.
Yes.
But, yeah, he texted me the Sporting News story. Texans, Falcons. Texans, yeah, I get that. Falcons, yeah, I get that. Cardinals, okay. I still feel like Kyler Murray is kind of a fun player to watch. But Colts? Does that blow you away?
Yeah, it kind of does.
It blows me away.
Well, especially when we get down to, like, you know, August 14th and everybody's picking the Colts to win in the division. I'd be like, man. Especially, you know, it kind of felt like they were on primetime games 9 times last year. So I'm pleased with this development, but yes, it does surprise me.
Yeah, I had to take in my little prediction, little story about the schedule, I had to take a little shot at exactly what you said about the. I'm sure some people will find a way to still pick the Colts, even though it'll be the Jags, and maybe some people pick the Colts.
Man, I'm not kidding.
Why not? Pick the Colts.
You know, Anthony Richardson's been around there for a couple of weeks now. And, like, from Jonathan Taylor to, like, some of these Colts writers again with some of the things they're saying about Anthony Richardson, I'm like, guys, are we doing this again? Like, I know it's different with a rookie this time, but, like, are we going down this road again? Is that what we're about to do?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, yeah, like especially like the Matt Ryan stuff last year, you know, maybe the greatest leader this city has seen since George Washington rode through on his horse. I mean, obviously, it was a little much. I will say at least, like, there's justification to be excited about Anthony Richardson,
yes.
Right? I mean, like I get that.
I do, too.
But, yeah.
I can already see it coming in August. Man, let me tell you, the Colts are going to surprise some people this year. Here we go. It's going to be. I'm looking forward to it coming up as the season draws closer. Joe, you've broken down the schedule already, so just immediate professionalism from Rex Road last night. The schedule comes out. There's an immediate breakdown of it from Joe on theathletic.com. Make sure you check that out. And a prediction associated with it. As we know, we love prediction season here on this program, Joe. But making a prediction on May the 11th last night, kudos to you. Way to go.
Yeah, well, I'll just tell you. I mean, right now, my May, mid-May, first blush as I see it all play out, because it is, like, I don't want to go overboard. I don't want to be especially excited about this, Junie.
Yes, yes.
But I do agree with him and others who say, look, it's not just the teams you play. It is the sequencing and how it plays together, and that can make a big difference. Look, if I were the Titans, I would choose two things. I would choose to break up the tough part of the schedule, certainly. Because I still consider at Indy one of those. It's still a tough place to play. By then, they'll still be, like, the city will still be engaged with the Colts, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's still a rivalry game. I would choose that, and I would also choose my off week to be a little later in the season. They did go. You have the option after London to have it the next week. They did. That's fine. That leaves you a lot of time, you know, with no break after that. But I went 9-8. I've got the Titans going 9-8. So
my question is, like, would Titans fans sign up for that right now? Like, no questions asked, 9-8. I don't know. Like, 9-8, it could get you in the playoffs. It may not get you in the playoffs in the AFC. But, like, if you're a Titans fan, knowing what we know, or at least what we think we know at this point about this roster, would you sign up for 9-8 right now if you were a Titans fan? I think that's an interesting question.
I would say most people would probably say no. A lot of them, because it's like, no, that's just not good enough. Let's do better. Some saying, no, let's go 4-13 one time and see what it gets us. Like, well, I don't want to do 9-8. Would you take 9-8? And the big question there to me is, okay, does that get you in or not?
Yeah.
I don't think it wins you the division.
I don't think so either.
But would 9-8 squeak you in as the seventh? It was basically what your hope would be at 9-8. I mean, I guess if the answer to that is yes, then, I mean, it'd be crazy to say no to that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that means you travel to the two seed first weekend. So you travel to Cincy or wherever, right? I mean, Why wouldn't you want to take that shot? But yeah, I think some people, well, certainly people would want better, but what you don't want is like 8-9, 7-10, you know? So you're in the middle, you don't get a very good pick, and you also don't get the playoffs.
Right. I mean, that would be worst case scenario at that point. Joe, honestly, my first reaction when I saw the schedule and the way it was laid out last night, and I don't think this will happen, but I also would not be shocked if it did. My first thought was, all right, first four games, on the road at New Orleans, home against Justin Herbert and the Chargers, on the road at Cleveland, and home against Joe Burrow and the Bengals. I could see 0-4. Like, I could absolutely see 0-4 taking place. Again, I don't think it'll happen that way, but 0-4 could be a distinct possibility, just based on the location of some of those games and the quality of opponent that you're playing.
Yeah, no, it could happen. I think the opener is key. I mean, I don't think the Saints are very good.
I don't either.
Now, obviously, Derek Carr, you know, makes it better. You know, a big thing with them is, like, what is Kamara? Like, right. And maybe it's not great to play them right away.
But playing down there week one, Derek Carr taking over, all that stuff.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that place can still rock. So, yeah, like, that's a key. That one right there is a key one, you know, to grab. But, no, you're not I don't think you're way off base with that they could be 0-4, but you know what? They could be 4-0, Robbie. How about that, huh?
Remember the stretch a couple years ago in 2021 where it was, I don't even remember who they played at this point, but it was like, you know, the Rams and all that stuff and the Packers and whatever it was. Anyway, they went 4-0 through that stretch, and it's like, oh, that was supposed to be the toughest stretch of the whole year. And you just absolutely mowed them down if you're the Titans without Derrick Henry.
Well, no, speaking of the Athletic, I mean, I had a brilliant. It was like 1-3 they might take right now, you know.
because they
won a real ugly game at Jacksonville. They were pretty bad, and because it was the Urban year, and then it's like It's like Colts. Well, yeah. So Colts, Rams, Bills, and maybe you're right. Was it Packers?
It was an
absurd stretch of games, and they win them all. Hilarious.
Chiefs, maybe.
I think the Chiefs were in
there. Yes. Yeah. That's right. They beat them 27-3. Yeah. Jeez.
So
wasn't that long ago, folks.
Not that long ago. People responding to my 9-8. Would you sign up for that right now if you're a Titans fan? Tim on the text line says, no, I'd rather go 3-14 and get Marvin Harrison
there
Jr.
You go.
Craig on the text line says, 9-8 is the worst possible outcome. Either be good and be a playoff team or be pitiful and draft Marvin Harrison Jr. This is from Craig on the text line. Not a whole lot of people sign up for 9-8 out of the jump.
I get it. Now, Caleb from Hendersonville says it's completely fine if we get in the playoffs. So that's he also says, I feel if we lose game, we lose everyone, we'll blame Tannehill as a scapegoat because the plan is to release him anyway. Well, look, if you're 0-4, for example, comes through. I mean, even if it's 1-3, I mean the Levis screams will be loud. You know, it's just how it is. Backup quarterback is the most popular person in an NFL town, as the saying goes. But if it's a highly drafted rookie, it triples the popularity.
Matt from DC says 10-7. They'll go 4-2 in the division, start season 3-3, and get on a roll. The defense will keep this team in games. Matt from DC on the text line. I mean, look, I will say the schedule in terms of the way that it's laid out, I think the back part of it could be beneficial for the Titans. Now, I don't know what this thing is. Like last year, the big problem I had with the schedule was you're seeing the Colts twice before Halloween, and then it's over with at that point. You know, this year you don't see the Texans until week 15, and then you see them right again in week 17. Like it's the NFL. Like I don't know how we keep running into these problems. Was like, hey, you're not going to see Houston until week 15, and then you can turn around and play them 2 weeks later, right again. Like, what are we doing?
I have no idea. Yeah, they finally broke up. Like the Colts thing has been like the same basic weekends, you know, and that had happened early, and that was very unfortunate. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess the only answer is like, well, there are two games that no one in the world wants to see, so who cares where we put them?
Yeah, I guess so. Davis Mills holding the clipboard as the backup quarterback in that game. I'll be watching that. Looking forward to that. I'll be the only person in America watching Davis Mills that day.
He'll be looking at his clipboard, and he'll be looking over at the other sidelines clipboard possibly too.
Have to make sure if you're a Titans coach, you're putting your hand over your mouth. He can see over the top of all that and read the play calls as that's going on. 615-737.
Feed him some lettuce.
That's right. 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad and kind of alluded to this yesterday, but he's come out with a piece about Will Levis and some reporting he's done on that front. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie and Rexroad presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they are referred to so often. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, you alluded to this yesterday, but you've been doing some work and some reporting on Will Levis as this week has kind of been going on here, and that story is now out at theathletic.com. I'm about halfway through it now, reading it on theathletic.com through the break. My reading time was really awesome during that break. I just want to point that out to you. But what are some of the things that you discovered, without giving your entire story away, that people can check out at The Athletic? I just tweeted it out, at RStanleyNHL on Twitter. What have you learned this week about Will Levis as we prepare for a whole lot more Will Levis talk heading into training camp?
Well, look, the important thing is that you listen to some Tommy Howell music before the show.
Yes, for sure.
You know, and which I also need. I need to do that too. Also, is it are we allowed? Like, this is two straight segments. We're pimping two different stories of mine. That seems a little bit overboard, man.
I mean, it kind of feels like we're back to normal, like falling back in line of where we once were.
I mean, I might be a little bit, little bit overboard with self-absorption, but there we go. No, I enjoyed doing it, and I had a pretty lengthy conversation with Will and his parents and a lot of different people, who'd kind of been, who know him well. I kind of alluded to it yesterday, but man, I'm sure you can find, just with anyone, you can find someone who dislikes someone, okay? I mean, maybe not Jared, but for the most part, you can find someone who dislikes someone. So I'm sure you can, but with Will Levis. But it is amazing the pretty big divide between sort of the, you know, the conventional wisdom on him, social media, sort of what people, and again, I think UT fans a lot, but not just UT fans. I think there's a certain, there's one word that was used in this process that I know really, really bothered the Levises, and that word was entitlement.
Yep.
And in fact, Charles Robinson, that word came right out yesterday. And here's the thing. Now, when you think about that, you know, Will Levis, I mean, his family is successful, you know, so he comes from like a successful family. So I guess you can think of, you know, went to a private school from New England, and, you know, his mom was a All-American soccer player at Yale, Ivy Leaguers, you know. So, I mean, from that perspective, I guess I get that. But in terms of his path, I mean, this guy, he was not a big recruit. And he was a three-star recruit, and he was passed over at Penn State. And, I mean, the stuff he's done academically is pretty amazing, you know? Like, you don't just do, like, you know, people think about college football players like, well, they have the academic advisors. But first of all, I think that's misguided. They put in so many hours. Like, you got to respect that. But, yeah, they do have more support and things like that. And this guy, 3 years, he had a 21 and an 18 credit semester to get out of Penn State with a 397 in finance. Okay.
Yeah.
And he did it so that, because he could see, like, I'm not going to beat out Sean Clifford, which is wild, by the way. And, I'm not going to beat him out, and he got the extra COVID year, so he's just going to be here. I mean, Sean Clifford just entered the draft same time as Will Levis did, so he did that, and then we know the story at Kentucky. Basically, I think what I thought of him going in, pretty consistent with what he is, but, man, people like this guy a lot. People who know this guy like this guy a lot. Does that translate to an NFL locker room automatically and easily? I don't know. You know, it's going to take him some time. Like, this year, he's just a rookie. This is Tannehill's team. But I do think that the intangibles you look for in a quarterback in particular are there. And I think that Will Levis, if he's good, and that's a big if, and I have no idea, I think actually he could be, persona-wise, I do not take this wrong, because I've done this before with Belichick, and I didn't say what people say I said, but I'm saying the way he approaches things and the way, like, I think he could endear himself to fans here. I mean, his hero is Tom Brady.
Nope.
And I'm not saying he's the same level player. I have no idea. He may never be a starting quality quarterback, but I think the demeanor actually is kind of similar. And I think that, like, Vrabel's going to love him, again, if he's good, because I think he's going to be a very outspoken. He's going to be the most, like, outspoken, out there leader, you know, that they've had at the quarterback position a long time.
I don't care what you actually said. I'm telling Jared Stillman at 7 o'clock that you compared Will Levis to Tom Brady. It's what we're
doing. I hope he's listening.
I'm sure he is. Grinding. He's grinding film, and then, yeah, he will twist the words.
It was very interesting to as I'm kind of reading along with this here, and again, without giving everything away, but a very positive influence in Will Levis's life, and kind of like a no-nonsense approach, and, you know, trying to think about what that is as it relates to the Titans and Mike Vrabel and how he's viewed as kind of a no-nonsense guy. It's just kind of an interesting fit there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, no doubt. Yeah, it's funny. I mean, you know, we talked a little bit about the Skronsky thing before, but it is pretty wild, you know, that Bob Skronsky, like, was so close with his grandfather. His grandfather, Chicago, was a recruiting territory for him, recruiting players to Yale. Tons of players over the years who played for Yale were from Chicago. And he would always stay with the Skoronskis when he went there on his recruiting visits. His retirement party put on by Bob Skowronski, you know? And so the fact that it comes full circle, and they look at it that way with Vrabel too. It's like, you know, you can't pick a better coach. That's what Will Levis responds to, is that kind of coach. So none of this did not address the football questions, but the football questions about Will Levis have been, I mean, we're just going to see, you know, like he threw the picks. He didn't have the same supporting cast, but some people say, well, you got to elevate him and all that stuff. But I think a big conclusion for me from this, and I thought so, I did, okay, going in. But, hey, if someone, like even our Penn State writer, okay, Audrey Snyder, I didn't quote her in this, but, like, I talked to her about this. You know, she's like, oh, he's just fantastic, you know. And he gave her, I referenced this, he gave her an exit interview when he left. And he didn't rip James Franklin and those staff, even though, like, they seriously used him as a running back at Penn State. It's like, did you guys ever, like, have him throw the ball in practice? Because he can throw it. They're pretty good, I think. But, hey, Sean Clifford's cool, too. I don't want to rip Green Bay Packer Sean Clifford.
Yeah, come on, man. That could be, you know, backup quarterback this year. Could be the starter one day. Who knows, Joe? Brett Favre,
Brock Purdy.
Aaron Rodgers, Sean Clifford.
I mean, Brock Purdy. No one had him starting for the Niners and being indispensable for the Niners. But, yeah, Levis, yeah, and Hasselbeck, actually, shout out to Nick Suss. I was really pissed off when I read his story because Hasselbeck gave him the same anecdote. So a lot of times, like, you would avoid that. But I had to use it because it's such a good anecdote about Hasselbeck at the combine. So I'll tell this anecdote because, you know, Nick's written about it now. I threw it in here too. So, you know, the quarterbacks don't do bench. So they changed up things this year at the combine. So it used to be like the bench is in front of like the fans and everything. So like this year, it's like basically they kind of put it different times. And for receivers, it was 6:30 a.m. So Hasselbeck did a mentoring program and like they split up the players. He had a bunch of quarterbacks and receivers. So 6:30 a.m., Lucas Oil Stadium, not a soul in there. And the quarterbacks aren't lifting and the receivers have to do the bench. And so he's like, Levis basically just started like, just screaming and hitting tables and like getting everybody to go nuts just to give the guys some energy as they're doing the bench, which may not sound like a big thing, but like to Hasselbeck, it's like, see, that's, I mean, that means something, man. Like everybody's tired at 6:30. You know, it means nothing to you, but he wanted to like help these dudes. And look, it's the consistent themes with this guy in reality. But he also did eat the banana with a peel on. I know.
Yeah. Well, see, this is the thing that's been so interesting about the conversation around him because, you know, we've talked about this, but my concerns with him have always purely been football. Like, what is it going to look like? Can he fix the turnovers? All those things. It has been very interesting. And this is not just with Titans fans / Vols fans, but really kind of like a nationwide. To watch
like Charles yesterday.
Yeah, like some of the discourse around him just in terms of the way that he's viewed is really interesting. And I guess something I didn't really expect heading into the draft process. Like, obviously, we talked a lot about Will Levis, but ever since the Titans have drafted him, like the reaction and the discourse really nationwide has been really interesting on the Will Levis front. And this story that you put up does a good job of kind of taking people behind the curtain there.
And I honestly do think some of it, like, we've talked about punchable face. I mean, he, like, opposing fans are going to hate him.
Oh, yeah.
If he's a good quarterback for the Titans, oh, people are going to hate him, right? So there's that. There's like, yeah, I mean, look, he's not C. Thomas Howell 1983 level. He's a good looking guy, right? Yeah. And so I think people dislike that. I mean, you got Rich Gannon, like, what are you doing bringing these hot women? Oh, my mom and sisters? Yeah. Like it's just amazing.
My mom, thanks. Sister, and girlfriend, sorry.
Thanks, Rich.
Yeah. You think that I went to, like, some, like, Kansas City barbecue place, just rounded up some women and brought them to the draft? What?
Boy, 615
blows me away, man.
That was a wild one from old Rich Gannon. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on Will Levis. More on that coming up next. Also something that Predators fans are very mad about as well. We'll get to all of that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Join 102.5 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls, coming up on June the 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes as well. You can sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We'll have Jared Stillman coming up at 7 o'clock, so looking forward to that discussion with him. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, Chuck on the text line says, I'm hoping Levis plays so good that every fan base in the AFC South wants to throw things at him at their home games. This from Chuck on the text line. We encourage people to keep objects to themselves at in stadiums across the league.
That's what you want. You know, Billie Jean's. Will it be, you know, will it be Billie Jean's, a derisive call because he's not playing well, or will Billie Jean's take Nashville by storm?
By the way, like, one thing I've noticed, you know, everybody that's like either texting in on the text line or like even me when I'm texting other people talking about Levis, it always autocorrects to Levi's. Big missed opportunity by Levi's for NIL in college. Big missed opportunity.
That's a great point. No, and it's like at this point, like especially doing this story, as many different people as I talked to, Liam Cohen and Hasselbeck and his parents and this guy Quint Tatrove, all Levis. It's like, wait, is it ever going to stop autocorrecting to Levi's? Like, doesn't your phone do that at some point when you type a word?
You would think.
Like a million times?
And it's got to get there soon, right? But a lot of Levi's that we've seen from people trying to type in Levis. A Gunner on the text line says, I love hearing Joe somewhat taking up for Will Levis after 2 years of putting him down at Kentucky. It's from Gunner on the text line.
Well, let me read my reply. I said, hey, I still wouldn't bet on him being a franchise quarterback. I'd bet on Bryce Young and Bryce Young alone in this class. But the personal attacks have been dumb, and having learned more about him, he is impressive. I mean, I don't remember everything I've said about Will Levis, but I think mostly it's been about his play and questioning whether he's going to be a great NFL quarterback, right?
Yep. Or just making fun of Kentucky football, which is fine.
And having fun with the mayo and the coffee, all that stuff. But, I mean, you know, well, I mean, it's interesting because that was kind of like one of them was earlier, but it was kind of NIL strategy, and it's kind of like worked because they both went viral. But also, like, I get why he's sick of like talking about that stuff.
Well,
but he needs to do a new food challenge.
Yeah, just come up with something else, and you can shift your attention from mayo and the coffee to whatever the next food item is.
I bet you at some point Vrabel was like, let's focus on football, Will.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's use the TikTok how I use it, which is just cooking recipes. Could be the way you do it.
I wish NIL was around when Vrabel was a player at Ohio State.
Too. Jeez.
What kind of stuff would he have done?
Could do a lot of good stuff with that one.
Drano for when you put nerds' heads in the toilets and flush it to give them a swirly.
You're going to make sure the path is clear in that toilet, man. some of that Drano. But no, look, I really enjoyed this piece on Will Levis. And there's one thing that I am not – a couple of things. Number one, the leadership part of it and some of the things that you hear about him from people who have played with him, I think is very encouraging if you're a Titans fan. He's very well-liked. A lot of people speak really highly of his leadership style and his ability to galvanize people in the locker room. I really like that. And number two, we talked a lot about this around here in this market, Joe, when Mariota was the quarterback. And not every quarterback has to be this way. Like, there are different ways of doing it. But one thing that I don't worry about with Will Levis is him being too passive out there or not speaking up enough or not having the attitude, quote-unquote, that you want from a quarterback. He's going to be just fine in that area, I think.
Yes. I mean, that is long. And again, I like Tannehill to me is good. In fact, I've disagreed with our friend Jared, who's coming up next on this. I think Tannehill's a very good leader too. I think he has the right demeanor and he has the respect and command of that. And the thing is, you got to have the respect. Ultimately, you got to earn the respect with your play. That's what's going to do it.
Yeah.
But if Levis does that, he will absolutely naturally assume that leadership role. And yeah, I mean, like he rallies people. Think about it. He had been at Kentucky a very short period of time. The teammates did two things. One, they begged coaches to, like, the coaches wanted this to happen. They wanted to see if this would happen, but the players begged them to move him to first team. You know, they had Joey Gatewood. I mean, I thought Joey Gatewood was going to be their starter 2 years ago coming out of Auburn.
Yep.
And then also they voted him team captain, which is like the dude's been here not long. And but it's just like, that's, you know, that's who he is. So yeah, all that stuff is like he has the right approach. And honestly, I don't know. I mean, I would not have known that before doing this, like really like how people feel about him in that setting. NFL locker rooms are not the same as college locker rooms, so you have to keep that in mind. You know, it's different. And again, you gotta kind of earn the respect first. You gotta have a certain level of, just a certain level of play, I think, to even begin to have a voice that matters in an NFL locker room. But he's gonna get that opportunity.
They've got Dan Graziano right now on SportsCenter breaking down the Titans quarterback room, and there's just all these highlights of Tannehill slinging it around, and then Malik Willis roping some throws out there and some game action he got in last year. A lot of depth in that QB room right now, Rex Rowe. Titans in a good spot.
Yeah. Good room. It's a good room. As Tannehill said, you know, Will Levis, adds to it. Hopefully he adds to the room.
Joe, Predators fans very upset with an announcement yesterday from the NHL. The Vezina Trophy nominees have been confirmed. And Linus Ullmark, to no one's surprise, Ilya Sorokin of the New York Islanders, and Connor Hellebuck of the Winnipeg Jets are the Vezina Trophy nominees for 2023. Obviously, that means that UC Saros is not a Vezina Trophy nominee for this season, and Predators fans are very upset. Joe, your reaction to UC Saros being left out of being a Vezina Trophy finalist?
Well, here on WHMR, as I'm going to tell you, yeah, he got hosed. That's too bad. Three years in a row here. 2 years he absolutely should have been a finalist and wasn't, and then 1 year he was, which is to me the least of the 3 years that he should have been a finalist. But I'm sorry, I think he got hosed here. Who would you take out if you were putting him in?
Probably, I mean, Hellebuck would be my guess.
He's better than Hellebuck.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean,
there's also the difference between a playoff team and a non-playoff team, right?
I mean, that's what it is. Like, it's had they made the playoffs, he probably gets in there. I think that's really a dumb way to vote. Like, just look at, like, you got to go deeper than that if you're voting on these stuff. And we've talked about before, the general managers vote on this thing, and I'm not saying that that's any worse than having anybody else vote. There's problems with voting all across the league. I mean, good Lord. Mark Jackson in the NBA left Nikola Jokic off his MVP ballot in the top five, which was just one of the dumbest things I've seen. Barkley went nuts about it the other night, and then Jackson finally tweeted about it yesterday. But there's problems with voting all across sports in terms of who's doing it and what that looks like. You know, honestly, I agree with you. I think that he should have been a finalist. I'm 0% surprised that he's not. I was actually would have been surprised had he been named a finalist just based on the way that the season ended and the Predators not making the playoffs.
I thought the underlying numbers, which were awfully compelling, like the underlying numbers tell a story of like he could win it. I thought that might get him in because they were so – he so carried them to even get close to the playoffs, which they should not have been. But, yeah, it's not a shock, but I actually thought there was a decent chance. By the way, can I just say that Rebecca, that's one of my favorite texts we've ever gotten on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. You seen this?
No.
Well, we're talking about Levis, how it autocorrects to Levi's. She says, my phone still types ducking years later. Yes. God, I feel your pain, Rebecca, so much.
So does mine.
That is so ducking awesome.
Oh, man. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jared Stillman. We'll get his thoughts on his victory against Joe Rexrode. And his thoughts on a variety of different topics, both with the Titans and the Nashville Predators. That is next. This is Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.